Walmart Plus. It's Walmart Plus free delivery, which saves members time plus money. Yep. Plus an included Paramount Plus subscription to stream movies, shows, sports, and that can't miss documentary. Plus Burger King savings. That's right. Members get 25% off Burger King digital orders every day of the week. Walmart Plus. It's Walmart Plus. Become a member at walmartplus.com. $35 order minimum. Paramount Plus Essential plan only. Separate registration required. Valid in participating U.S. BKs in the BK app or bk.com for members only. 25% off one time per calendar day. Terms apply. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Pulse has a database mapping almost 2 million buildings in the state that receive Pulse, which makes it pretty accurate in working out how many vacant properties there are in the country. And it is estimated there are 81,000. Just imagine how many of those 81,000 could perhaps be used for people to live in? Now, the vacancies in Dublin are at the lowest level, 1.2% of all housing units in Dublin. At the highest in Leitrim, where it's 11.8%, it's 10.6% in Mayo, 10.3% in Roscommon, 9% in Donegal, 8.2% in Sligo. So maybe there are certain parts of the country where there aren't jobs available and people don't want to live there because it's not close enough to places of employment or whatever. But we still have an enormous amount of properties that could be brought back into use. We have two guests with us. In a moment, we'll hear from Orla Hegarty, who's an architect and assistant professor in the School of Architecture, Planning and Environmental Policy at UCD. But first of all, Jude Sherry from Anish is with us, which has been an advocacy for a number of years for trying to use vacant properties. Jude, instead of analysing the scale of the problem, I'm interested in hearing about solutions. And you have a lot of interesting solutions that you're suggesting. Could you tell me, please, first of all, about a registration system so that we can clearly identify which properties are vacant and why?
Hi, Matt. Hi, good to chat to you again. Unfortunately, chatting again about the same issues around vacancy and dereliction. It gets coming around about at this stage.
But, it gets a bit tiresome, but it still has to be dealt with, Jude.
Absolutely. More now, every year it gets even more urgent to deal with it. Yeah, so it, just before the election, we wrote a report called This is Derelict Ireland, The Solutions. And what we did was we went through kind of what's happening internationally. Other countries have similar vacancy or dereliction problems, and because it's something that occurs once you let it occur, you will get vacant and derelict buildings. So we looked at what other countries are doing, and what we found is that, like, fundamentally we have a major data problem in Ireland. So we talk, the GeoDirectory is great data, but unfortunately it's not completely accurate either. It has 40,000 less homes than were found during the census. So we can have debates about how accurate their data is, because we're looking at multiple different data sets and they all measure slightly different things. So what we're suggesting is something that's common in other European countries, the Netherlands, even the UK. There's registration on homes. So not, this is something we think revenue should take up, where, you know, your home is registered already probably with revenue and because you pay your local property tax. But we want to have, we found in the census, again, there's differences between how many properties are registered with the Rental Tenancy Board to how many are actually rented with the, came up in the census. So we don't actually know what's happening with our homes.
Registration system might have, you could have your primary residence or something be designated as a holiday home, or it could be designated vacant or uninhabitable. And you could have various things there as well, like you might have, say, maybe property under renovation or going through probate, or maybe the owner is in nursing home care. But in an event where the house isn't been used or an apartment isn't been used, would it be a good idea to bring into place compulsory sale orders, a sort of a use it or lose it method, saying, okay, we know property is a right given to you under the Constitution, but you know, there's a greater public need here. And if you're not going to use a property, leaving it sitting there idle, that you should be made to sell it.
Absolutely. That's something we're proposing too, would be a combination of compulsory rental and compulsory sales. So for uninhabitable homes or one-off homes, compulsory sales, it happens in Scotland and England at the moment. And then for maybe like apartments in built-to-rent blocks where maybe it's commercial landlords, maybe commercial or compulsory rental orders are better there. So you don't have to change the ownership. But what happens in the legs in Denmark, owners only have 6 weeks to put a new tenant. And if they don't put a new tenant in after 6 weeks, the council goes and put a tenant in the property for them. So it makes sure that people come off their waiting lists, housing waiting lists, and people get homes. So for habitable, especially new built, we'd love to see compulsory rental and then compulsory sales orders as well. So what we'd also like to see is for commercial properties, I know slightly different to this, but it's the likes of meanwhile use. And another thing that we're asking for is actually, we have a lot of vacant offices and retail. What we would like to see is the likes of a moratorium on building any new offices and retail, because we have so many empty across the country. We have our highest vacancy rates in Europe for offices, and we'd like to see those skilled construction workers to go and renovate existing homes, even convert offices and retail to homes, and get out and building new homes as well.
Okay, let's bring in Orla Hegarty on this. What do you think of the idea of compulsion, that you, if you're not using a property, that you're compelled to either sell it or to rent it, because this is a national crisis, national emergency, which needs to take precedence?
I think it's an initiative that should be taken, and in fact it doesn't always have to go into a full legal challenge. Louth County Council did a pilot scheme a number of years ago where they decided to see would this work, and just by writing to people who had abandoned properties or identifying owners, a lot of them came back into use or were sold to the council for use for social housing. So it doesn't always take, you know, a legal challenge. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of a push, and whether that's from somebody, you know, reaching out, we have vacant homes officers in local authorities, or it takes a push with, you know, taxation measures. It's the easiest way to get housing back. It's the quickest and cheapest, and it's environmentally the most sustainable. And so, you know, whether it's commercial property or residential, we have a whole bank of properties there that we could turn into housing quite quickly.
Orla, this listener here says, the people with knowledge and the ability to get houses occupied for use have been taxed out of the equation. I'm a building contractor. If I buy a house personally and refurbish this house over a period of time, I will not only have to pay income tax on this, but would also have to pay VAT on the sales price. There's no VAT content in the house when you buy it originally, so it's just not viable. The revenue cut for an individual taking the risk and carrying out these works is off the scale, therefore nobody bothers. I know there won't be much sympathy among the listeners, as trying to work hard and make money is seen as a crime around here. Okay, there's a lot in that, but is it financially difficult to actually do something like this as a builder?
I think there are real challenges there, and we see, you know, the people who shout loudest often get the most, and it's the developers who are developing greenfield site where they make the money on the land that shout the loudest when it comes to housing. But really, in terms of a sustainable approach, we should be targeting the small developers doing housing in towns and cities, and they need to be supported in lots of small ways to make a really big difference. And I would agree with your caller, you know, there needs to be maybe a joined up approach where somebody who has a property like that can go and look for, you know, the grant support in relation to energy upgrades, that there's deals to be made with local authorities for, you know, long-term lease for social housing, and just putting that package together so that it's made straightforward for people. And I do agree that small builders, you know, small builders are the people who will build the housing we need, whether they're subcontracting to big builders or doing, you know, houses one by one. That whole sector needs to be fostered and grown so that we have the capacity to build these houses.
Another listener says, I'm from Leitrim. I own a house that would be considered vacant. I want to renovate the house, but it has no septic tank, and I've been refused planning permission to put one in, despite it being an isolated property not near any river, lake, etc. Also, the house had electricity, but it was turned off in the late 80s after my granny died. I looked to get it turned back on and was quoted €6,000 by the ESB for just reconnection, never mind wiring, etc. What do you think of that, Orla?
Well, if it's an environmental issue, you know, that the groundwater isn't suitable for a septic tank, there isn't much that the local authority can do, because whether you see a stream or not, the groundwater could be polluted, and then there's environmental issues and fines on the local authority. So, I mean, that's maybe an unsurmountable problem on that particular site. I know that people are being charged for electrical reconnections, and that can be a barrier in some cases too.
Okay, just a final one to you, Jude. What about taxation on vacant sites? And not sites, because we're talking about vacant properties now. But again, if they've been left empty, should we actually then be charging for actually leaving them empty?
Yeah, I think so, Matt. I think we should have a vacancy tax for a couple of years before the compulsory sales and rental orders come in, or sales and purchase orders anyway. So if we have a look, like, the government did bring in a vacancy home tax, but it was designed to fail. So it only targets 2,500 or less than 2,500 homes. That's like, you know, a couple of percentage of the actual 80,000 homes that GeoDirectory have found themselves. So like all those homes should be at least registered for the vacant homes tax. And then exemptions like people in care, going through the sales process should be brought, those exemptions can be added on. But if we have a look, like again, at international norms, Vancouver brought in a couple of years ago in 2019 a vacant homes tax, and that's reduced their vacancy rate by half. It brought in about 6,000 more rentals and 6,000 home ownership. But they raised 142 million over those 6 years that they could put then and spend then on social, building new social homes, where the Irish tax, vacant homes tax, is only raising 1.6 million a year. So it's really, we're not really, we have it there, but it, there's so many exemptions and it's not adhering to international norms. It's taken vacancy as you can use the house for only 30 days as opposed to other countries, which is like 6 months or a year. After it's empty, if it's empty for 6 months, then it's taxed. So there's a whole lot of problems with the existing tax, but it can be altered quite quickly and quite easily.
Okay.
And then we can take the data from GeoDirectory, from ESB, feed that into revenue, and then revenue can have a better collection rate.
Jude Sherry of Anish, Orla Hegarty, architect from UCD. Thank you.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.